would get your notebook and turn to page 120. 120. We'll do the first and the last verse.
I'll go around the pasture, and, you know, we got a big long straightaways, and Usually by the time I get down there out there at the river, I'll be in fourth gear just pinned. And I'll hit the brakes and I'll lock it up and I'll slide that thing around the corner and keep it hitting. I have a good time. And I would have got on it and I crunk it. I had to pull the choke up. I kicked it several times and it fired up. And I said, she lives, you know. And it's smoking like crazy and I'm ready to go and I'm gonna roll it out. And I'm gonna get up there and I'm gonna hold that thing wide open. And I took the choke off. And it should have been warmed up, but it died. So I begin to say, well, it's okay. It's done been running now. I know I can get it run again. So I turned the choke back on, give a couple more squirts of the gas, went to kick it again. The kicker went limp. I had stripped the teeth off of the kicker, and so I was unable to kick it. But I said, well, it's been running before, so I could probably roll it off. So I pushed it to the top of the driveway, and I was going to roll it off, you know, put it in second gear, drop the clutch, pop down on the seat, and crank it. And I done that, and it did not crank, but it was at that point I realized that something unimaginable had happened. With no noticeable leaks or any reason that it should be, I found out that there was no brake fluid in my front or rear brakes. I had zero brakes. Now, because I was just rolling, I was easily able to stop, put my feet down, stop, and set. But had that kicker not stripped off, the time I realized that I did not have brakes, I'd have been fourth gear wide open, headed straight for that rear brake. And I probably wouldn't be here tonight. I might have been alive. If I would have been here, I'd be rolling in here. But you know, the Lord showed me something in that, and it's something I know, we all know, but it's something He reminded me of, and I realized that, you know, again, like I've realized before, that sometimes when you think things just ain't going your way, God might very well just have them going exactly the way they need to be going.
Yeah.
And Romans 8:28, of course, comes to my mind, and I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you for my kicker tearing up.
Yeah.
And I was thankful for that. And I also realized that there is one that is called the God of this world,
yeah,
the prince of this world, the prince of the power of the air. And I realized that Satan would go so far as to murder man, sure, more than just try to tempt you, more than just try to distract you, more than just try to discourage you. If he can, he will bring death to you. If he can, he will disfigure you. He will do whatever that he can to hurt you, and especially any time that you want to do anything for God. And tonight, you know what, I come in here, this is my intention. And Dalton, you pay attention, you're going to like this. This is my intention. I want to drop kick the devil right in the teeth tonight. That's what I want to do. Amen? I think that's a good thing to do at church. Amen?
Amen.
And this is the thing, I can, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Praise Amen. God for that. Amen. I'm no match for the devil.
Right.
Amen. Yeah. But I got a power that lives in me. Amen. That he has to answer to.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful for that. And this is the thought that I've had. This is what I've been studying on. I was going to preach. My intention, my full intention was to mostly go into the millennial reign tonight. And God began to stir my heart on Sunday evening and begin to show me this and give me this message. And I began to study on this thought. And then from that point in time on, the devil has just fought me. But like I said, thanks be to God, he's helped me this week. And as much as I've seen the resistance, I've seen the help from the Lord. And I thank God for that. If you have any Bibles tonight, let's look at Revelation. And let's look at the book of Revelation in chapter number 20. Now, we've been going through and we've been preaching on eschatology. We've been given sort of a timeline and going through different things pertaining to that. And we've talked about on Sunday, we've looked at that battle of Armageddon. And we've looked and we've seen how that Antichrist and that false prophet were caught and they were cast into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And there in the last verses, 20 and 21 of chapter 19, we see that. We also see that the remnant of the armies that were with them were slain by the sword of he that sat upon the horse, that is the sword that proceeded out of his mouth, that is the word of God. He spoke the word of God, and they were slain. And it says that the fowls were filled with their flesh. Now, in chapter 20, I want to begin reading verse 1. The Bible says, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season." Now, I'm going to read one more verse here in chapter 20. And the Bible says this in verse 10. It says, "Now this is taking place after the millennial reign." I don't want anybody to get confused. Right. Lord willing, we will talk about, we're going to preach on the millennial reign. But this in verse 10, the verses we just read will take place right before that millennial kingdom, and then this and during that millennial kingdom, and this will take place at the end of that millennial reign. There will be one last battle. We'll talk more about that. But I just want to read verse 10. "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I pray, God, that you'd add your blessing to the reading, to the preaching hour. May you be glorified tonight. In the name of Jesus, be exalted. We thank you for loving us, giving us the victory, Lord Jesus. Thank you for making us your own and sparing us, God, the judgment that is set aside for Satan and his angels. We thank you, Lord Jesus. It's in your name alone we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you for standing. And so, as we look at this, this is the thought I want to preach on tonight, and that is this, the doom of Satan. The doom of Satan.
Yeah.
He is a doomed being. The very first prophecy that we're given in the Word of God is this, that Jesus had told that serpent in the garden. He said, "You might bruise his heel," talking about the seed of the woman. And he was referring to none other than Jesus Christ. Amen.
Yes.
And he said that you'll bruise his heel. He said that he'll crush your head. That's not a sugarcoat, friends. That is given a very vulgar, a very violent description of what's going to happen. He said that he will crush your head. And he's not just talking about physically, he's talking about spiritually. He's talking about, in a metaphorical sense, that he would take his power away, the head and the seat and the throne of dominion that Satan has over this world will be removed by that of Jesus Christ. Amen. And I thank God for that. Hey, can I say this tonight? That in my life, because Jesus has saved my soul and freed me from the power of sin, that Satan is not the head of me anymore.
Right.
Amen. And I say it anymore because the Bible teaches this, that all who are in their sins and lost and have not accepted Christ as their Savior and been born again by the grace of God, that Satan is their Lord and Master.
Yes.
You say, I don't worship Satan. I know that somebody might not be saved, but you know what? I know they ain't worshiping the devil. They might not be doing it willingly, but I want to tell you this, friend, anything and everything that is not of God is of that of the devil.
Yeah.
And the Bible says in John chapter 8, he said, "You are not of God, you are of your father, the devil." Again, in 1 John in chapter 5, the Bible tells us that the entire world is enveloped in wickedness. Amen. And because of that, and because we can know and we can see that, not only because that the Bible tells us, but it's evident to us through everything that we can see and know today.
Yeah.
Now, when we're talking about the devil, we're talking about a wicked, wicked individual. When you see the most wicked things you could imagine in the world, know this, that the source of that wickedness is Satan.
Yeah.
When you see the atrocities that are done to some of these little children, that make you fire and mad if you can.
Yeah.
I don't even like to hear about it. I don't even like people to tell me about it. I can't stay very Christian in my thinking when people tell me about things like that. It just hinders me. But I want to say this. hates God and he stands against God, but I want to say this, that God stands for everything that is just and true and right, and Satan is the very opposite of that. He is a very wicked thing. He's nothing to play with. He's nothing to wink at. I want to say this, that he's never been your friend. He's never been on your side. Hey, as much as he might try to deceive, and he'll try to tell people, hey, you know what, just do it my way. That's what he tried to tell Jesus over there when he tempted him in the wilderness. He said, I'll give you the kingdoms. Yeah. He said, I'll offer you this. That's the same thing that he does to mankind. Right. The Bible says that he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. That means that is his native tongue is the lie. And why is that? It's because that every word that comes out of the mouth of God is the truth. And everything that God stands for is the truth. And the Bible says, praise God, that the truth will set you free. Yeah. He's not talking about what you feel like is true, but he's talking about what is the truth. Yeah. There's plenty of people out there that can feel one way or the other, and Satan can come in and he can deceive, and he can cause someone to believe, hey, look, if this is what makes you feel good, and this is what you're comfortable with, then that must be what's true. I want to say this, when I heard the truth of the gospel, I wasn't very comfortable. I was mighty uncomfortable whenever I heard the truth of the gospel the first time. I felt like, you know, that a meteor was going to come down any minute and hit the church house, and that everybody else was going to go to heaven, and I was going to die and go to hell. I felt like that if I was worried to get in my truck and to drive home because of fear of what might happen on the road, because the sin is in my life, and because I didn't know the Lord, and because that I was a sinner and I was condemned, the same as my father, Satan was condemned.
Amen.
He was a condemned individual. Amen. And we understand that he was wicked. We understand that he's in control of the Bible because of the godless world. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us this. It says in Ephesians 6, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It says, but against principalities and powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That is the enemy that you and I are fighting.
Amen.
I want to say this, that Hamas is not the enemy. I want to say this, the Muslims are not the enemy. I want to say this, that liberal politicians, Republican, Democrat, whatever they are, that's not the enemy. I want to say that Satan, that wicked one, that is the enemy.
Amen.
That's the enemy of God. I want you to say something tonight. I want you to get some hate in your heart. Oh, you won't hear that from the pulpit anymore these days. I ain't talking about hate for a sinner. I'm talking about hate for that wicked one, the devil.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. There ain't nothing wrong with that tonight. Hey, I want to say that the church, we ought to hate the devil with everything in us. Hey, you go around, we walk around all the time getting hateful about everything. We get hateful when our food don't come on time. We get hateful when somebody's holding us up in traffic or somebody's falling behind us, bright lighting us. We get hateful when somebody blows that horn at us. We get hateful with our husbands, hateful with our wives, hateful with our children, our moms and dads, brothers and sisters. Get hateful with the preacher sometimes if he steps on the toes. Get hateful with a brother or sister in Christ just because X, Y, or Z reasons, it don't matter. Hey, we ought to be hateful if we're going to be hateful. We ought to be hateful towards the devil.
Amen.
He deserves it.
That's right.
I've said this several times, and it's worth saying. I remember last year camp meetings, Mike Bagwell preached Psalm 58.
Yeah.
About prayers of imprecation. I knew what prayers of imprecation were. It's a prayer where you pray in God's judgment on enemies. I knew what that was. I never felt comfortable preaching it really that way. And Mike Bagwell preached it, and it gave me a better understanding.
Yeah.
And I studied on that. Now I want to read this one. This is in the book of Psalms. This is also a prayer that David prays, and it's found in Psalm 109. Listen, this is what he says. Now this is what he says. Now listen to this. I'm not going to preach this. I'm going to move on. I'm just going to read this. This is what he says. Hold not thy peace, O God of my praise, for the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are opened against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. They can pass me about also with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. For my love, they are adversaries. but I give myself in the prayer. They have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love. Set thou a wicked man over him, and let Satan stand at his right hand. When he shall be judged, let him be condemned, and let his prayer become sin. Let his days be few, and let another take his office. Let his children be fatherless, and his wife a widow. Let his children be continually vagabonds and beg. Let them seek their bread also out of their desolate places. Let the extortioner catch all that he hath, and let the stranger spoil his labor. Let there be none to extend mercy unto him, neither let there be any to favor his fatherless children. Let his posterity be cut off, and in the generation following, let their name be blotted out. Let the iniquity of his fathers be remembered with the Lord, and let not the sin of his mother be blotted, and let not the sin of his mother be blotted out. Let them be before the Lord continually, that he may cut off the memory of them from the earth, because that he remembered not to show mercy, but persecuted the poor and needy, that he might even slay the broken in heart. And it goes on even from there. But that is some of the harshest things that I've ever read the Word of God.
Yeah.
To say, let his children be fatherless, and let him not receive mercy, and let not his fatherless children receive favor in the sight of any man. He says, let his sin be remembered by the Lord. That's not like David. But you know what? I believe David had a little bit of insight of what Paul did when he wrote Ephesians chapter 6. We wrestle not against flesh and blood,
but
against principalities. I don't believe David was hating on the individual. I believe David was hating on the devil, that prince of the power of the air, that one that had that control, that one that's pushing it. Do you realize all the problems that he's caused? Do you realize all the families that are broken up because of the lies that have been told? Do you realize all the children that have been hurt, and the people that have been killed and murdered, and the people that have been assaulted, and all the lies that's been told, and the times people have been robbed, and everything is because of lies, and it's because of deceitfulness, and it's because of the work of the devil in the world. Now I understand this, this flesh is wicked. We can't blame everything on the devil.
Right.
But I want to say this, one day God's going to blame it all on the devil.
Amen. Yeah.
Everybody's going to be judged according to the works. But he's going to get the final judgment. He's going to get the worst of it.
Yeah.
Everybody, you always see these pictures of hell. First of all, this, that the devil's not in hell.
Right.
He's in the world right now.
Right.
Hell is a place. And there is people there that are lost, that have followed the devil. That's not where they're going to end up forever. That'd be that lake of fire.
Right.
The devil is not there right now.
Right.
He's going to and from the world.
Yeah.
But he is headed for that lake of fire.
Yeah.
We always see this picture. We always see this kind of illustration of hell as if the devil's there and he's got his demons. And, you know, it's their job to go around and make sure everybody's tormented, this, that, and other. They got jobs down there. Hey, it ain't going to be like that for him, for him.
Right, right.
He's going to be tormented. I believe worse than any person down there is tormented.
Yes.
I believe if they're going to behold him, he's going to be right there along beside them, screaming in the bowels and the fires and the flames of hell, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. I believe there in that lake of fire, that as he's there, we know he's going to be there forever. I believe he's going to be crying out. He's going to be begging for forgiveness for the first time in all of the creation, from the time of the beginning of anything, for the first time ever. I believe he'll beg for mercy, and he'll never get it. It'll be too late. He'll say, why did I ever try to go against God? Why did I try to ascend my throne higher than God's? Why did I come down here and deceive mankind? Why did I go against God? God, forgive me. And God's going to say no. Matter of fact, he ain't going to say nothing, because God ain't going to be there except in his wrath and in his judgment. And it's going to be a consuming fire. It's going to burn forever and ever and ever and ever. We can't even begin to imagine forever.
Yeah, right.
And that's what it's going to be. But he's going there. Now, Bible tells us this concerning the work of Satan. We understand and we know what he does. And we know how he does it. It's with the lie.
Yeah.
We see how Satan goes. He gets permission from God. Matter of fact, he sort of gets a direction from God to go and to harm Job and to harm his family. But I'm going to tell you this, he never asks permission to lie. If he's going to take action, we see that there has to be special permission granted. So how does he do everything else that he does? It's simple, he lies. Why? Because he opposes the truth.
Yeah.
And anything that's the truth, Satan will oppose it.
Yeah.
Bible says, tells us to resist the devil, and he will flee from us. Bible tells us this. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Remember, I preached on that a while back. Why did Jesus come? And that was one of the reasons that Jesus comes, to destroy the works of the devil. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour.
Yeah.
Understand this and know this, Christian, that if you don't realize it now, that he is working in your life, that he has a demonic army that is coming after you. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to be real with you.
Yeah.
I want to tell you this. You don't stand a match against him. I want to say this. I don't care how smart you were, how good a grade you made in school. I don't care how tough you are, how many fights you won. I don't care what it is. Hey, I want to say he's been around a long time.
Yeah.
He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows how to tempt you. He knows how to tempt your wife, how to tempt your husband. He knows how to tempt your children. Hey, you can be the best parent in the world. You can raise your children right. You can keep them arrows sharp. You can keep them covered in that quiver like they're supposed to be out of the river, so that they're not becoming rusty and so that the shafts aren't bending. But I want to say this, that if Satan can, he'll get a hold of them and he'll pull the feathers out so they can't fly straight. He'll dull the edge so it can't pierce into anything. I want to say this, if Satan can, he'll get in your children's lives. I've seen it happen. You've seen it happen too. People raise their children out. They raise them in church. They teach them the best they can. And then at the end of the day, Satan comes along and he comes in there and he moves in and he begins to sow them lies. He begins to do the work that he came to do. Hey, the Bible says that the Bible says the thief comes but for what? To steal, to kill, and destroy. And that's exactly what he wants to do, not just in the life of somebody that's lost. You say, well, I'm saved now. What can Satan do to me? Hey, I'll tell you what he wants. He wants you to shut up.
Yeah.
He wants you to sit down. He don't want you getting excited about telling nobody about Jesus. Hey, I want to say this. If there's come a time in the past 2 weeks or the past month that you thought about telling somebody something about the Word of God, and you thought, well, you know what? Who am I to say anything? And you know what? I shouldn't do this. You know where that come from? Hey, it didn't come from the Holy Ghost. Hey, that wasn't the thought God put in your mind. Hey, that discouragement, that down putting, that beating down that you're getting, that don't come from anything but the devil.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
You know why? Because he knows what he's doing. If he can get a Christian caught up in sin, they'll be too ashamed to be a light to anybody.
Right.
You say, well, a Christian aren't not sin. No, they aren't not. But we're human.
Yeah.
We're still in this old flesh, and it's vulnerable.
Yeah.
My sin has no mastery over me. Its presence is still something I'm struggling against.
Yeah.
And there's been plenty of times the devil's come my way, and I've put up my dues, and I fought my best fight, but at the end of the day, I lost. You know, whenever I win, though, whenever I just say, I can't do it, instead of standing up, standing tall, strong, I just get on my knees. And I said, Lord, I'm going to let you go before me. Satan, he's a big devil, but I got to be with God.
Amen.
Like old David, he's seen that giant in that army, they sitting that old giant down there. He's a shaking that spear, he's a cursing God. And all they could see was how big and mighty that giant was. David looked beyond that giant and he seen a God that was bigger than the whole universe.
Yeah.
Amen.
He laughed at that giant. He said, who do you think you are? I want to say this. Don't try to stand against Satan. Leave that to God and God will take care of that.
Yeah.
But realize this. We're called to be sober, to be vigilant.
Yeah.
That means to keep your mind clear, be prepared, because Satan is actively trying to destroy anything good in your life. Listen to me, husbands and wives. Satan is trying right now to destroy your marriage.
Yes.
I promise you he is. Listen to me, parents. Satan right now is trying to destroy the testimony and lives of your children. Children, listen to me right now. Satan is trying to come into your life. He is actively trying to persuade you to step aside, to get out of bounds, to just do anything he can get you to do to turn your back on God. He says, if I can just get you to be quiet, if you'll just quit singing in that choir, if you'll just quit going to that Bible study, if you'll just quit hanging out with this Christian or that Christian, if you'll just start making friends with them or with them, hey, I want to say this, you better be careful about it. Nick, you testify for me real quick. We should have been more careful about people we made friends with. Is that not the truth, Nick? Amen? That just is what it is, ain't it? It ain't that I don't love him, boys, and I know you do too. But I'm saying that if you ain't careful, I'm going to say this, that Satan, he just got all he wants to do is just slip a toe in the door, and the next thing you know, he's dragging you out, and you're following him. Hey, I want to tell you, he knows what he's doing.
Amen.
Bible says this, that his followers, they present themselves as angels, or preachers of righteousness. It says that he himself presents himself as angel of light.
Yeah.
You know what that means? That means that we say, you know, we'll see something that looks boogerish. And we'll say, that's the devil. But something that looks sweet and innocent seems that way, that's the devil. That's never the devil. You know, sometimes the devil is something that don't always start out as being bad.
Yeah.
Sometimes the devil is just something that's very innocent. Sometimes the devil comes along and he's like that old serpent. You know, that serpent wasn't always a scary thing.
Yeah. The
Bible says the most subtle of all things. Mm-hmm. You know what that means? That means that it was of all the animals that she could have seen that day and talked to, that of all of them, the serpent seemed the least threatening of any.
Yeah.
And that's the way he comes. And that's the way he works. But I'm going to say this. The Bible says this. In the book of John, in chapter 16, verse 7, Jesus said this. He said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you that I should go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you, the Comforter. He's talking about the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
He says this. He says, when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. When he says he will reprove the world of it, he means he's going to show the world, he's going to reveal the world to, he's going to reveal to the world the truth of these things. He says, of sin, verse 9, of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 16, he says, of sin because they believe not on me. In John chapter 3, the Bible says this, it said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever should believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life.
Yeah.
And he goes on to say this, it says, he sent not his Son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved, because the world is condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. And that is Jesus Christ. And whenever it tells us that, and he says here, he says that he's going to reprove the world of sin because they believe not on me. I want to say this, that the first goal that Satan has for anybody is to cause them to believe in something other than Jesus Christ. He don't care how he has to do it. He don't care what it is. If he can get you to believe in the Buddha or Allah, that's good and fine. But if he can let you, he's perfectly content to let you sit on a Baptist pew your entire life. If you'll just trust in your works, if you'll just trust in the fact that you can be a good person, or you can do things right, or the fact that mom or dad or grandma or grandpa or whoever it was a good Christian, or whatever the case may be, he's perfectly content to leave it just like that. But I want to say this, the only way to come into the kingdom of God, Jesus told him, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. Hey, I'm glad to know this tonight, that even though I'm a sinner, thank God he don't let me get away with sin. Amen. I'm glad that he chastises me. I know I'm not a bastard, but I'm a son.
Yeah.
I belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I love him guns of mine, and when they act up, I take them out and I bust their hind end, because that's what the Bible says to do.
Yes.
The Bible says that's what works. That's what my daddy done to me growing up, and it worked. I want to say this, that whenever I sin, that's what God does to me, and I'm glad for it. Amen.
Yeah.
Because I know I belong to him. Bible says this, that he reproves the world of sin because they believe not on him. There ain't but one sin that's going to cause you to miss heaven. That is refusing to repent and believe in the name of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Bible says this, he says, he's going to reprove the world of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Bible says this, the wages of sin is death. That means that that's what you earn by sin is death. The wages of sin is death. But he said he came to reprove the world of righteousness. He said, because I go to be my Father and you see me no more. What he says, I have power to lay my body down, and I have power to take it up again.
Yeah.
I have the hope of eternal life tonight, knowing that I'll never taste death according to the Word of God. I'll never see death. I want to say this, I'm alive right now, and I will be alive forevermore. Matter of fact, the closest that I'll ever come is whenever I go lay, close my eyes and this body goes to sleep. But I want to say this, that whenever I lift up my eyes, there I'll be with the Lord. To be absent of the body is to be present with the Lord. The Bible said I'll never taste of death. Hey, I'm going to go from living to living more abundantly. Praise God. I'm thankful for that tonight. I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to worry about that. And you know what else I realize? That I don't deserve it. You know why? Because what I just talked about, because I'm a sinner, because God has proved to me that I'm a sinner. Why? Because he had to send his Son to this world in order to be a sacrifice that I couldn't be saved.
Amen.
And the only righteousness is the righteous one who death had no power over. Wages of sin is death, but there's one that come that death had no power of. That's why he said that he's going to prove the world of righteousness. He said, because I go to be with my Father, that means that he ain't in the ground no more.
Right.
That means he ain't in the grave no more. He's gone to be with him. And he said that where I am, you may be also.
Amen.
He can take me there. And then he says this, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. He says that he's already been judged. Like we talked about, that first prophecy that was ever given was the condemnation of the devil. That he'd crush his head. He'd take his power away. That he'd no longer be able to have power. And he said that he was judged, the demons that were in that maniac in the Gadar. He's in the tombs. He's cutting himself. He's hurting himself. And it said that he was so possessed with demonic powers that none could stop him, none could lay hold on him. They tried to put chains on him. They tried to handcuff his hands and his feet. And he'd break loose from him. He'd tear the ropes off of him. And he'd break free. And he would go out and he would torment the townsfolk. And he slipped there among the dead in the tombs. And it says that when he saw Jesus coming afar off, the Bible says, it said that he seen him coming afar off. And he ran to him. And he fell down and he worshipped. And he said, the demons within him cried out. And they said, are you here to torment us before our time? They know that the judgment of God is coming their way. They know that the judgment of God is coming toward them. That's why the Bible says the devil knows that his time is short. And that's why that he acts the way that he does. That's why he's always working. He's always active. He don't take naps. He don't take breaks. He don't stop and just say, I think I'll be lazy today and lay around. Hey, matter of fact, that's what he'll try to get us to do. Ain't nothing wrong with getting rest. Don't get me wrong, but I want to say this. Hey, we ought to look at our time as being short too. Understanding, knowing this, that Jesus is coming back sooner than later. We don't got so long on this earth. This time and version of this life down here in this world is a vapor. We ought to be taking as much advantage of the time that we've got, and we ought to just lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and be a light to this world, because we know that Satan's working.
Amen. Yes, Satan.
The Bible tells us this. We see the doom at the end of chapter 19 of the beast, of the Antichrist, the false prophet. And then he says this in chapter 20. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand, to lay hold of the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, bound in 1,000 years. Listen, when it comes time, God ain't sitting there drawing a plan right now, figuring out how am I going to take care of this debt problem. He's already got a time point.
Yeah, amen.
That book, he's got that treasure book. It's in his hand. It's already recorded there. He knows the time. Amen. Praise God, our God. He said, I ain't even going to waste my time putting my hands on that filthy booger. He's telling Michael or one of them up there, he said, when it comes time, you just go down there and you get him. You lay hold on him. He's telling me, he said, you bind him. You throw him in that bottomless pit. I said, well, why don't they just go ahead and throw him in that lake of fire? I don't know. I couldn't tell you exactly. But I want to say this. I believe he's locking him up down there in that pit of darkness, that bottomless pit. He's a fallen for 1,000 years. And he's going to just holler down there at him and say, hey, have fun. We will for the next while. And he's going to rule and reign. Yeah. He's going to show this world how it's supposed to go.
Yeah.
And how it's supposed to be. At the end of that, we're skipping ahead a little bit, but I read that in chapter in verse 10. It says that he'll be thrown in that lake of fire.
Amen.
He's going to go down there and burn forever and ever. You know, that's what the Bible said. The Bible said that God made that for the devil and his angels.
Yeah.
That is the purpose it's built for. You know why that's where we end up headed for? Because that's our Father by nature.
Mm, yeah.
But supernatural. God died in my place, in your place, and I could be born again.
Amen.
I can know him. And he died in your place that you can know him.
Amen.
And he said he came to destroy the works of the devil. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say this sometimes. I get so stinking mad at myself, and I say, oh, what a wretched sinner that I am. Sometimes I mess up, and I think foolishly, and I speak foolishly. I act out. You know, sometimes me and my wife will get in a big old fuss or something, you know, my children got to see all that. And you can imagine what it's like trying to fuss me. You couldn't imagine what it's like coming close to her. You don't ever see her bad side. Y'all get to see me get loud and excited. You can imagine what I'd be like angry. Her, you should see that sweetness. Don't let that fool you. But I hate it whenever I get like that. I hate it whenever my youngest sees like that.
Yes.
And I pray every time. I tell them, I say, youngest, I hope you know that Daddy is just a sinner too. The only thing that makes me right is the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
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 And I pray and I say, Lord, don't let my failures be all there, remember.
Yeah.
Let them remember, see me sitting there in that book and reading.
Yeah.
Amen.
They're going to remember anything. Let them remember popping outside and hear me out there crying and praising God out there in the field, praying to Jesus. They're going to remember anything. Let them remember me standing behind that pulpit preaching the word. They won't remember anything. Let them ever make them phone calls. And crying. Being burdened for lost souls. Let them ever be getting up late at night. going to visit somebody that's in the hospital, somebody that's going through a hard time. Let them just remember me as a Christian. That's what I pray every time. I get so upset myself whenever I fail God. I'm sure you do too.
Yeah.
I would say this, one day God's going to deliver me from all that.
Yeah.
Furthermore, when the devil's gone down the way, the one that goes and deceives, that won't be a problem no more. That's not going to be an issue for me, or for you,
right,
or for anybody. Why is that? It's because we can give him both but one. And we should. Not just for my own, not just for yours, but all the wickedness in the world. And I want to say this, one of the greatest things we ought to rejoice over is God judging him.
Yeah.
One of the greatest things ought to give us comfort is in the end, God wins.
Amen.
And we've got the victory through Jesus Christ. I'm on the winning side. I belong to him. I say all the time, I say, God, I'm on your side. Every time I pray, I say, God, I'm on your side. I run into situations, and you will too. And I say it all the time. I say, Lord, I'm on your side. But you know what? Sometimes I forget. He's on my side.
Amen.
And I'm glad of that.
Amen.
I say, Lord, help me be on your side. I always want to be on your side. And I tell people that. If they got run into an issue and they need to talk to somebody, witness to somebody, I say, just remember this, you're on God's side. And I say, whatever you say or whatever you do, make sure it honors the Lord. You'll be all right.
Amen.
Well, I remember this this evening. I was out praying before I come over here, and I remember this this evening. He's on my side.
Yes. Amen.
I'm glad of that.
Amen.
You know, sometimes because I am a failure, sometimes because that I do fail God, I think that maybe he's just mad at me or upset with me. I'm glad he don't treat people the way I do.
Yeah.
I'm glad he don't treat me the way I would treat somebody.
Hey.
Or the way I treat him. But he's on my side. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that one day he's going to judge our devil. He ain't never been on my side. He ain't never wanted nothing good for me. He ain't done nothing to cause me heartache. Mm-hmm. He ain't done nothing to make me have regret. He ain't never done nothing for me but made me feel pathetic,
yeah,
make me feel worthless. I'm going to tell you, God ain't never done that to me. When I was pathetic, worthless, God made me feel like somebody. When I was unworthy, God made me feel worthy. Amen. Whenever I was no good, whenever I was just pitiful and broken and wicked, God made me good and righteous and worthy and a child in me. Whenever I was condemned and set to be judged, God gave me mercy and grace and his own righteousness that I could be forgiven and belong to him.
Amen.
One day I'm going to rejoice. The Bible says that the righteous will rejoice in the day of judgment and wash their feet in the blood of the wicked.
Amen.
I want to say this. Satan is a defeated foe.
Yes. Amen.
You ought to be vigilant. You ought to be aware. But at the end of the day, you ought to remember that he's got a condemnation that's coming his way.
Hey, that's right.
Amen.
And do you good every now and then to remind him of it.
Amen.
He goes to fighting you. Just preach to him a little bit. Say, I wouldn't call to preach. That's all right. You can preach to the devil. I promise you ain't got to worry about him making a false profession. Just tell him, say, you're already poor. The Lord's done gave me the victory.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads for prayer tonight. I don't even know what I could ask or say. Other than this, if the Lord has given you a reason to come to this altar and thank him tonight, and you'd like to come, would you come? Do you have something to tell God tonight? Maybe you want to rest on the victory, I don't know. Maybe you're like me and you fought to death. Maybe tonight you just want to thank God for
delivering you, helping you, putting you on the wind of heaven. Maybe you're still fighting. There's things you're struggling with, things you're going through, battles you're facing. Maybe the Lord's encouraged you tonight. That's my prayer. That's my prayer. Would you thank God tonight and say, God, help me and be my strength? I want to ask you this tonight. If there's any of you here tonight, you're not on the winning side. You don't have the victory. You've never been born again. Would you come tonight and say, Lord, forgive me? Would you believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and be born again? There's a judgment that is coming. As I pray tonight, the Lord spoke to your heart, why don't you come? I thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for the encouragement it brings me, God. Thank you for the mercy you showed to me, you have showed to me, you continue to show to me. Thank you for all your blessings, God. You've been so good. Lord, you've always been faithful. I have been faithful always because you've always been faithful. Lord, all the times I've let you down, but you've never let me down. God, I know one day when I stand and I see what I deserve, when I realize, God, that all the things that I've hoped for, God, and I see it and I can handle it and touch it and feel it, and all of it becomes so real. Lord, if it's possible, the panic would set in one more time that I might get what I deserve. I know that your grace is going to come through. Lord, I know your mercy is going to compass me about. That your loving arms will embrace me as I see the wicked judge. And I'll praise your name. And I'll praise your name more than I ever have. But God, I pray that tonight, Lord, that you'd help me to praise you, Lord, as I can, Lord. Help, Lord, my unbelief, God, my faithlessness, Lord. That I'd see you as you are. That I'd believe you at your word without doubt. That I'd trust you and follow you. That I'd be about your business. That I'd never be ashamed, God. Not because of anything I've done, because of what you've done. Help us, Lord, tonight, God, to give honor and glory and praise to your name. Be a light in this world. Lord, to stand with you. We be on your side. Be thankful, knowing, God, that you are on our side. I thank you for being so good. I thank you for this church. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. Pray, God, that you continue to help us and strengthen us, God, for the battles that we have to face. Give us faith to trust you and confidence, Lord, in your word. Let us have on the whole armor, God, to fight the good fight. Lord, it's in Jesus' name, amen. Sunday, but next we'll do our foundation study. I've got a question.
What are the attributes of God? I want you to try to give me at least one, up to three. At least one, up to three attributes of God. There's many of them, and I got to go home and take a poster down off of my air conditioning unit. It's in the basement because it's got all listed on there, and mine will be cheap. So, in any case, but that's my poster. Actually, where I thought this, it's been about a year ago, but I just never have done it. But that'll be the question, and you can give me at least one attribute. And what I mean by that is an attribute that is exclusive to God, meaning that it's something about God that people don't have, okay? So you can look up some scripture, you can give us that, and we'll learn and grow together. Remember homecoming. When is that?
May 25th.
May 25th. So that'll be the Sunday after foundation, May 25th. So remember our homecoming, and we'll pray about that. And then the 28th will be the camp meeting rally. It'll be over at Mount Calvary Baptist Church. I can't remember who's preaching. And I forgot to bring in flyers. Did I bring in flyers in last night? Yeah, I forgot to bring. I'm going to try to bring in camp meeting flyers to church when the next time I come. I think that's all I had for announcements. All right. Well, let's come and pray before we go. And remember to pray for those that's been sick in the church. Remember to pray for those that's had things going on. And remember to pray for Chet when he goes for surgery. Is it Friday or tomorrow? Tomorrow he goes for surgery. Tomorrow we pray for him. Then you pray for Brother Randy. And pray for Richard Billy, Miss Vivian. Then you lift him up. Pray for Brother A.D. And pray for Brother Lee in the hospital. Remember Miss Edna. Remember Miss Christina. She's got to put up with A.D. So, remember Stephanie, the baby, she goes for a scan tomorrow. Pray for her. She's been a little bit nervous. They go on, just look for, you know, anything, see if anything's going on, or anything's not according to plan, or whatever the case may be. But I know this God ain't never made a mistake.
Hey.
They don't matter whatever they find. It's like it's out on God's side. And pray for her, buddy. Pray for Stephanie. Pray God to help her, give her peace about it. And that God just let everything go according to whatever they would deem as plan, or important plan, or whatever it might be. But who's got an unspoken request and won't lift your hand?
Amen.
Hands all over the house tonight. Remember these things. Remember those things. You pray for people that's got things in their heart that they don't feel liberty to bring out. Just remember, you know that God knows about it. Just ask God to help them in those things. A lot of times those things are things that really mean the most to you for somebody to pray about. So remember to pray for them. Has anybody got a spoken request that you'd like to mention tonight? We'll pray.
A co-worker named Gary Haller, he had to have surgery for lung cancer, and it's going to try to move a lung, I think, later today. He's got slim chances of surviving more than 30 days, but I know he needs prayer. So if y'all would just pray for me, pray for this man.
Amen.
My brother goes to Mark for a CT scan, and they found a mass on his kidney on the ultrasound, so we're going to check that on the CT tomorrow. Just pray for that.
Amen.
Keep me in your prayers. I guess it's about time I try to take Brigham back to court for custody of the call. When I talked to him, and he said he wanted me to do it. So just pray and know your Lord leads me in the right direction.
Hey. Nick, I'm going to say this, and I hope it's all right. His living situation where he's at now with his mom is not a good situation. I just want to say that it's not as if Nick's just trying to take him away from his mom just because he's in
for any selfish reason or anything like that.
Well, I was going to add to Agan's. His mama's moved in with her boyfriend, and she don't even hardly see him. And he lives with her mama, and his uncle, which is his brother, he don't like him. He's, you know, mean to him, I guess, and he said he don't want to live with him. He said something about moving in with her and her boyfriend, and I told him that wasn't a good idea. I said, you don't want to move in with some man you don't know. Plus, you have to move schools and lose all your friends. And y'all know Colin, he don't like people. He don't like new people. So, I mean, he just has trouble, you know, in that. And I told him that wouldn't be a good idea. And I asked him, I was like, you want me to, you know, get back to get, see if I can't get custody of you? And he said, yeah. So I just,
Council service to you, the discharge of this pastor. We therefore thank you, praise you for all these things. Lord, your precious name we pray. Amen.
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 All right. All right, if all hearts and minds are clear, you're at liberty to go.